You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And the show has a topic hour and an arts hour. Right now, we're featuring thought-provoking conversations with artists. My next guest is Sayla Carriat, director, writer and producer of the film The Valley, a poignant and haunting film which ponders some deeply human questions. What does it mean to really connect as human beings? How well do we actually know those we love and know ourselves? Are we willing and able to let others be who they truly are? The Valley is the feature directorial debut for Sayla Carriat. And although she's had a lifelong passion for film, Sayla began her career as an engineer, having obtained a PhD in electrical engineering. She was a research staff member at the prestigious IBM T.J. Watson Research Center, worked as a development manager at IBM, overseeing 28 engineers, and as director of marketing at a high-tech startup. She subsequently started a residential construction business, which gave her the flexibility to raise two daughters, and she successfully ran that business for 8 years. And during this time, she somehow found the time to also pursue her lifelong desire to become a filmmaker and obtained a bachelor's degree in film from San Jose State, where she was valedictorian of her graduating class. Sayla has since directed several short films and has written shorts and feature-length screenplays. Her screenplay, Minor Gods, was selected as a finalist for Best Feature Screenplay at the California State University Media Arts Festival. And I caught up with Sayla at the Cinequest Film Festival after the world premiere of her film The Valley, which was well received by Cinequest audiences. And just to say, when Sayla refers to the pearl in our conversation, she's talking about John Steinbeck's novella The Pearl, which features in the film. I spoke to her in the foyer of the iconic California Theater in San Jose, California. So let's hear some of our conversation. So I'm here at Cinequest with Sayla Carriat, who is the director and writer of the film The Valley, which has its world premiere at Cinequest. So first, Sayla, can I ask you to give listeners a brief idea of the story without giving too much away?
Sure. The Valley, first of all, thank you very much for having me on your program.
Oh, very welcome.
And The Valley is about an Indian-American entrepreneur. He's based out of Silicon Valley, and he has a family, a stay-at-home wife, two college-age daughters, and a live-in housekeeper. And it's kind of about the struggle of a family to remain intact in this high-pressure, fast-paced, extreme culture, high-octane culture of Silicon Valley. So his younger daughter goes away to college, and shortly thereafter, she commits suicide. Mm-hmm. And it's the tragedy just propels him on this journey to try to find out what happened. And so in the process, he finds out a lot of things about himself and his own choices and values.
Mm-hmm. So what inspired you to tell this story out of all the stories out there?
Well, I've lived here for 20 years in Silicon Valley, and I've raised two children here, and seeing that their friends and them their struggles trying to keep up with all of the demands and pressures that they have, and watching kind of the culture of competition. One of the problems is there's kind of a very little support. There's no support network. So if your child is struggling with something, you don't feel comfortable to go and talk to another parent because they're very competitive, you know, and so the parents don't have support and the children don't have support. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, contributes to the problem of the extreme pressure that the children are feeling.
Mm-hmm. Now, it is about an Indian family, and it seems that often with particularly immigrant families in America, there's even more pressure. I mean, there's pressure generally, and I think, as you're saying, the Silicon Valley is very pressured, but would you agree that with immigrant families it seems even more so?
Yes, definitely, because they come out of more difficult circumstances. They had to be very good, the cream of the crop, really, to get here. And so their, you know, built-in expectations are very high. And they themselves have excelled, and they expect that of their children.
Yes. I mean, to me, seeing the film, there was, well, many levels to it, but there's the level of that, of the immigrant experience and the pressure of that. But it's also completely transferable to anybody's experience, I think, and not necessarily even just in Silicon Valley. I think that there is a pressure to succeed in a very specific way. And also in America generally, success is really defined through money. Is that a theme that you wanted to address as well?
Definitely. I mean, the whole metaphor of the pearl, that's what it's about. People think they come to America and they think they equate success with money, and the health and of the family and the kind of harmony of the family life starts to become very secondary, because they're in pursuit of money, and so that's definitely a theme, and the pearl is symbolic of that theme. And I agree with you. I think this could be any family of any ethnicity, really anywhere in the country. It's really about that culture of success and the workaholism that goes with it, and the sacrifices that people make without even realizing that they're making them.
Mm. Now, this is a subject area you could have made a documentary about. What attracted you to portraying this issue in a fictional way?
I think fiction gives you a freedom to explore the inner workings of a family that documentaries don't. I mean, it's such a sensitive topic. I know that there are families that do talk about it, but for a family to really talk openly about this, something like this, a tragedy like this, I think is nearly impossible. So I felt like fiction gave me the freedom to, you know, have people react and feel the emotions without dealing with real people.
Right. So you think perhaps it's easier to empathize with fictional characters?
Yes, I do, because I think you can get closer to them.
Right. Why do you think that is? Because you're forming them in your own imagination as well?
Or? Yes, because, I mean, with writing a fictional story, it gives you the freedom to go as deep as you want in their daily life, in their emotional life.
Right.
So I think then that makes the audience connect with them.
Right. Something I'm very interested in is the ability of art to potentially help us process difficult events, whether they're things we've experienced or other people have experienced, both from a perspective of making art ourselves but also consuming art. Is that something that you see in your work?
Definitely. I mean, I think art brings people together, because, I mean, one of the reasons, when I first went to producers and tried to look for funding for this movie, they said, well, you should really take out the ethnic component. You know, why you don't? They don't need to have this ethnic component, which is true. I mean, you could have made the story, you know, identical and just changed, you know, the names a little bit and so on. But I think there is something. First of all, Silicon Valley has so many Indians and Chinese who come here, and you know, and other ethnicities to work. And you know, the fact that when it's depicted, so little of that is shown is kind of odd. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons I left it. The other reason, I think, is it kind of adds to the empathy from both immigrants and non-immigrants. Mm. When I was growing up, I was an immigrant, and I never saw any characters in any art, like television, movies, even books, that really reflected my experience. And I think that added to the loneliness or isolation of my experience. Mm. So the fact that you see someone that looks like you, talks like you, on screen, you know, and going through similar problems that you're going through, I think brings everyone closer. For non-immigrants, it makes them understand what immigrant life is like, and for immigrants, it makes them understand. You know, it makes them empathize with the characters who are on screen.
I think also that watching something that's different to your experience, sometimes you can absorb lessons from that maybe you wouldn't absorb if it was directly about your own experience, because that can be harder to consume you know, you've already got your vision of your little world or whatever. So when you see it in a different context, I think sometimes you can have revelations because you see it and you go, oh, wow, that's happening there. But you know what? It's also happening here. Is that something you would agree with?
Yes. Actually, several people who've watched the movie have told me they see themselves in the movie. And, you know, there are things about ourselves that we just don't want to admit. But when we see them on screen or we see someone who thinks they're behaving like us, then it just makes you realize, oh, my God, I do that.
Yeah.
Wow, as a parent, I do that. And several people told me it made them want to go home and hug their kids, which yeah. I thought, okay, if that's the effect, I mean, I couldn't ask for more, you know?
I mean, to me, art is about communication. So are you trying to communicate something specific with the film?
Yes, I mean, I think the message of the film is the contrast between ambition and competition and the quest for money and compassion and empathy and human connection. And that we shouldn't forget the latter in the pursuit of the former. Mm. You know, there is a place for both in your life. But, you know, you can't just sit home with your family all day either, right? So there's a place for both things. And, you know, you have to make sure that you're taking care of both things. And that's the message that I want to convey.
So is there a particular audience you have in mind? Or are you just hoping that, you know, it'll be seen by anyone?
I mean, I think it will resonate mostly with parents and children who are in their, you know, teen, late teen, early 20s, because, you know, the children are going through that struggle and the parents are watching the struggle in their children. And so I feel like those are the two groups that it would resonate with. One of the things I'm hoping is that you know, people who take this extreme act, they kind of think, oh, the world would be better off without me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when they see the devastation that they cause, I mean, people never recover from something like this.
No.
They never do. I mean, they kind of live with it because they have to, but there's no such thing as recovery, I don't think.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they see that, maybe it makes them think twice. This is not the right solution to my problems. You know, and I think the other flip side is, you know, people around someone who's depressed or struggling, they, if they can show more sensitivity and, you know, maybe take a little trouble and, you know, make that phone call or, you know, reach out, you know, that may make more difference than you'll ever realize, you know.
Yes. Yeah. So what attracted you to film as your art form?
Film is amazing because it's the amalgamation of every art form. I mean, you have writing, acting, cinematography, music, costuming. I mean, production design, art design. I mean, we actually have artwork in the movie, so, you know, it takes art to another level, too. I mean, every art form is in this one medium, and that's why it's so collaborative. You need so many different talents to pull together.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's why it's so hard to make a great movie, because each, you know, any kind of defect in any of those, it's like cooking, right?
Mm.
If you put too much salt, it ruins the whole dish, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. There's all the things have to come together, you know?
Yeah.
And the director is, there's an enormous amount of pressure on the director because you have to deal with all of these different, you know, aspects of the movie. And so that's, I mean, the director is, I mean, I'm not trying to beat my own drum here, but I'm saying that's why they call the director the auteur, because you're kind of involved with every single phase of the movie.
Yes. Now, is this your first feature film?
This is my first feature. I've made short films and I've written several screenplays, but it's my first feature film.
Well, it's really wonderful. I really enjoyed it. It's very moving and engaging. Your actors are very good. Where did you come across them?
Actually, they say that 80% of directing is casting. I worked so hard on the casting. I looked for North American actors in the 40-plus age group for the mom and the dad. And I just couldn't find, you know, the people that I wanted, because a lot of them have been typecast into comedic roles. Yeah. And, you know, it's very hard to take them seriously, even when they, even if they're capable of doing the role.
Yeah.
So I just didn't want that. So because this is such a serious topic, and the acting, if the acting was not on par, it would have looked like a soap opera.
Yes. Yeah.
So I ended up going, I found somebody in Pakistan to be the actor, Ali Khan, and he was just brilliant in the movie. I mean, he was very good. And Samina Pirzada was the housekeeper. And then I got a casting agent in India to help me to cast the actress, who was Suchitra Pillai. She was outstanding.
Yeah.
She was very easy to work with. I mean, her performance was so natural. I really enjoyed working with her. And then I had a casting director in L.A. who cast some of the other roles, like Barry Corbin, Jake T. Austin, Agnita Takkar, who played the daughter, Salma Khan, who played the other daughter, Hope Lauren, and Krista B. Allen, who's fairly established, you know. She's been in Revenge and other shows, and she's been in L.A. for many years. So I got a good collection of actors for the other roles from L.A.
Finally, I like to ask people on the show if they can remember the first time a piece of art, it can be anything, a photo, a painting, a picture, a piece of music, affected you in a way that you realized that art can have a deep emotional effect rather than just, you know, entertain us.
Actually, for me, the love of film started with a movie I saw when I was about 10 years old by an Indian director called Satyajit Ray. And he won an honorary Oscar, but he was masterful. He wrote and directed a movie called The Postmaster, and it's about this little girl who's this postal officer who goes from village to village, and he gets stationed in her village, and she's an orphan girl, and she gets assigned to, you know, cook and clean and so on. And, you know, child labor is not uncommon, even now, unfortunately, but. So she's around 10 years old. He's actually very kind to her. The previous person had beat her up, and this person was very kind to her and teaches her how to read and write. And so she starts to view him as her father, you know, like she just so, you know, she just adores him, right? And then he gets malaria, and she nurses him through the whole thing. And then he detests the village, right? And so he manages to get himself transferred. And then he's getting to leave, and then he remembers, oh, I forgot to say goodbye to her.
Aww.
So it's the contrast. Like, for her, he was her whole world, and for him, he doesn't even remember to say goodbye.
Right.
And then as he's leaving, he tries to give her some money, and then she says, I don't. She just shakes her head, and you see this tear coming down her cheek. You know? And he doesn't see it, but the camera sees it. It's one of the most moving, I mean, it's such a small film. I mean, there's nothing fancy, but it's so beautifully acted and moving. And that's the kind of art that I love. It makes us more human, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I think your film contributes in that area. It definitely is very much about our humanity. So congratulations. It's a wonderful first feature. So if listeners want to follow the film, obviously it's doing the round of festivals now. How can they support the film at this stage?
Well, you can find out all about what's happening to the film on our website, www.thevalleyfilm.com. And it'll tell you what festivals it's going to be in. I'm trying to do a limited theatrical release followed by VOD. And I haven't, you know, obviously gotten to that stage yet. But hopefully it'll be in theaters somewhere near you and you can watch it.
Mm, excellent. Well, thanks so much for talking to me, Sayla.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin, and thanks again very much to Sayla Carriat there. Just another reminder, you can go to thevalleyfilm.com for more information. And of course, as usual, I will put up the podcast page with photographs, information on the guests and links, as well as other information. Just to remind you that It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour as well as a guest hour, so be sure to to tune in to hear thought-provoking topic discussions on the street, as well as inspiring in-depth interviews with guests from the arts. And if you go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, at the top of the page, there are two tabs, topics and guests. And if you click on that, they bring pages up. The topics page has all photographs and the questions at the different topics that we've covered over the years. And the guests page has photographs of all the wonderful artists that I've been privileged to talk to. And then you just click on the photo and it will bring up the podcast page with the audio and all the other information. So I would encourage you to go to the website and check that out. Again, the website is itsaquestionofbalance.com. And of course, you can also tune in regularly Saturday, 8 to 9 p.m. live for more thought-provoking conversations. Well, thanks very much for listening, and I look forward to you joining me again next time.